The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
You've tuned in to Columbia Calling, your first stop for everything you want to know about Columbia. How and where to invest, where to visit. From the Pacific to the Caribbean, the Andes Mountains to the Amazon jungle, Columbia has a slice of everything. Shooting from the hip, answering the questions that need answering. Here's your host, the journalist and hotelier Richard McCall, shedding some light on the fashionable South American destination of Colombia.
This week on Colombia Calling, with me, your host Richard McCall, here in Bogota, Colombia, 2,600 meters closer to the stars, we'll be talking to Australian writer based in Brisbane, Sarah Duncan, and the author of How to Quit Your Job and Travel the World. It's a free ebook that's available online, and so we'll be talking to her about her experiences in Colombia and all things Colombian with the writer in Brisbane, Australia. So tune in to this week's show with Sarah Duncan on sarepa.com.
The world is a beautiful place, so listen up. The Overseas Radio Network.
What does your dream job look like? Is it spending an hour or more every morning, every night, stuck in traffic? Is it staying up late to finish that report for the boss? No, didn't think so. So where are the opportunities for the entrepreneurs with a sense of adventure? Where are the businesses for sale that allow you to be your own boss on your own terms, wherever in the world you choose? OverseasVentures.com. Overseas Ventures is the first business listing directory of its kind. Our focus is to provide a personalized experience for those looking to invest in overseas opportunities and start living their dream of the overseas ventures lifestyle. With everything from tiki bars on the beach in Belize to boutique hotels in the warm, sunny Caribbean to online opportunities for those who want to live out of their suitcase and just travel the world. Overseas Ventures is the first website dedicated solely for the global entrepreneur in mind. Check us out now at OverseasVentures.com to dream, own, and live a new life abroad.
Ready to learn about a new life overseas? You're at the right place. This is the Overseas Radio Network.
Welcome back to the show. This is Columbia Calling. I'm Richard McCall here in Bogota, Colombia, 2,600 meters closer to the stars. As always, we'll have a very special guest on the show later on, starting in segment two. That is Sarah Duncan, who is an Australian writer based in Brisbane, and we'll get to talk to her in Brisbane and conduct the interview over Skype. So we'll be talking about her new ebook, How to Quit Your Job and Travel the World. So it's a free ebook that you can get through her website, which is www.sarepa.com. But we'll hear more about that later on. What a week. What a week in Colombia. I mean, first of all, we qualify Colombia. I'm an adopted Colombian now. We qualified from the group stages of the World Cup, beating, you know, with a 9 out of 9 points. So that's 3-0 against Greece, 2-1 in a tough, tight game against the Ivory Coast, and then another convincing win in that group phase over Japan. So then they come through, and this new star is born, who we've known about for a while here in Colombia, James Rodriguez. That's James Rodriguez to those of us Anglophones, but he prefers James. So it's James Rodriguez is the star of this World Cup. Anyway, so we watched them on Saturday playing Uruguay in the first round of knockout phases in the Brazil World Cup. And what a game. 2-0 to Colombia for the first time that they've ever reached the quarterfinals. This is the furthest they've ever gone in a World Cup. Two goals from James Rodriguez. Amazing play from the goalkeeper Ospina and considerably great assists from Juan Cuadrado. So it was a team effort, and wow, I tell you, Colombia, as they say here, está de fiesta. It's in celebration. But it's a different type of celebration because Bogota, where I am based at the moment, has been under a ley seca. Ley seca, literally a dry law, which, again, for the Anglophones amongst us, would mean really a prohibition on the sale of alcohol. So, you know, it's to cut down drunk driving and drunken fights and brawls, which happens here, because, I mean, I guess there's been so little to celebrate about that Colombians don't know how to take it in their stride, the whole celebration thing. So, you know, after the Greece game, the opening game, there were some 13 people killed, I think, in Bogota alone in bar fights. But the mayor has come forward, the mayor Gustavo Petro, and he has basically every game day there's going to be a 24-hour ley seca, so starting at 6 a.m. in the morning and ending at 6 a.m. the following morning of that game day. And, yeah, you can't buy alcohol, but this just causes people to stock up and have huge house parties, and it's been a major detriment, major stumbling block for businesses, bars, clubs, you name it, restaurants. They can't sell alcohol. I mean, that's where their profit comes in, isn't it? And especially during football games, especially during the World Cup, when Colombia is playing so well. So we had ley seca, and I went off to a party with some friends. That was fun. We watched the game. The first goal by James Rodriguez. What a goal. I believe an Australian commentator said, you know, that, I mean, that was such a beautiful goal, it's worth framing and putting on the wall. Perhaps the best goal so far in the World Cup, James Rodriguez. So now, our team, Colombia, the Cafeteros, the underdogs, will be taking on Brazil on Friday. What a game. Brazil on Friday. So they're taking on the hosts. And I tell you what, Colombians aren't lacking in confidence for this game. They believe that they can win. They believe they've got the team to take them through to the next round, to the following round, to the semi-finals. So we'll see. All eyes will be on James. All eyes will be on Teofilo Gutierrez, who's had a relatively quiet World Cup despite scoring one goal. All eyes will be on the aging Mario Yepes, the journeyman defender who's now into his later years of being a football star. All eyes will be on Juan Cuadrado, but I tell you, the whole country is behind Colombia. It is incredible. And despite the lack of alcohol being sold, the fiesta, the party is big. I mean, I tell you, when a goal is scored, when a game ends here, the city erupts and everyone is beeping their horns and hanging out of their windows and blowing on their vuvuzelas. It is atmospheric, to say the least. So, you know what? If you're an impartial watcher to the World Cup, if you're a newcomer to football, watch Colombia, because as various commentators have said, Colombia have put a zest and a spark into this World Cup. They're playing with joy. And you know what? Why not? It's been 20 years since the heinous murder of Andres Escobar, the former Colombia team captain who scored an own goal in USA 1990, not USA 94, I believe, and then was murdered in the car park in Medellin because, of course, the narcotraficantes and the cartels gamble who knows what amount of money on these games. And due to his own goal, Andres Escobar, the team captain, was murdered, shot down in a car park in Medellin. 20 years have gone past and the joy is back, and rightly so, in Colombian football. We have to talk about that. It's a change, and there's a lot to be happy about in Colombia at the moment. So we'll see how it goes. It's all about the next game against Brazil. And, you know, what a stage. What a stage to set positive press, positive image for Colombia, which never has had, you know, this team in four games has done more than the government has been able to do in 10 years to improve Colombia's image on the world stage. So long may it last. Long may Colombia stay in this World Cup. And, you know, even if they don't, even if they go out against Brazil, it's been a great ride. But I tell you what, on Friday, I will be in my Brazil shirt. I'm going to be in Mompox, but I will be in my Brazil shirt, and I will be supporting with my whole heart the Cafeteros, my adopted country, my adopted team. and watch, and it's just so much more fun to watch a Columbia game. So I advise all of you too to tune in and put on your yellow shirts and support the Cafeteros. So get in touch. You can get in touch through Gmail, like columbiacalling@gmail.com, through our website, columbiacallingradio.com, and on Twitter at columbiacalling. So we're going to take a short break and we'll be back with Sarah Duncan on the line from Brisbane, Australia. I'm Richard McCall. This is Columbia Calling. Don't go away.
OverseasRadio.com, broadcasting from Panama to Paris and beyond.
Attention investors, Nagel & Associates and the Overseas Radio Network are sponsoring a one-of-a-kind asset protection and global investment conference this August aboard the celebrity cruise ship, the Constellation. This 12-night cruise will feature the best of Northern European capitals, including Amsterdam, Stockholm, Berlin, Tallinn, Helsinki, Copenhagen, and the highlight of the cruise, St. Petersburg. You will experience the breathtaking scenery of Northern Europe while discovering cutting-edge developments in asset protection and global investment strategies. In this small group setting, you'll learn from renowned international experts and then get to spend quality time as fellow passengers really get to know them and letting them know you and how their expertise might be of great benefit to you and your future. Not only that, but our conference is headlined by Jack Wheeler, who the Washington Post refers to as the real-life Indiana Jones. Come and get to know Jack and his wife, Rebel, and enjoy some adventure stories on the high seas. Registration fees are $13.99 for a single and only $19.99 per couple. Sign up before May 30th, and you'll receive a $300 discount on your registration fees. Register now by calling 1-914-269-8848 or send an email to rachel@hemisphereslpublishing.com. We hope to see you aboard.
You've got questions about Columbia, and Escape Artist has answers. Is Columbia a good fit for me and my plans? How do I buy a house, find a job, find a doctor, start a business, invest in real estate? What should I know to better appreciate its history, its culture, its opportunities? What is it really like to be an expat in Colombia? You'll find your answers at columbia.escapeartist.com, your complete and trusted guide for living, working, playing, investing, and retiring in Colombia. That's columbia.escapeartist.com.
You're listening to the Overseas Radio Network, the exclusive online radio station for the expatriate community.
And we're back. This is Columbia Calling. I'm Richard McCall here in Bogota. And this is the first time that we have an Australian in Australia talking to us on the show. How cool is that? But this Australian, Sarah Duncan, might be known to many of you. I hope she's known to many of you out there because she's about the greatest Australian promoter of Columbia. I mean, really, her blog, sarepa.com, you will have seen it because it's all out there. Bundles of articles written about Columbia, promoting Columbia. So this week, I'm very happy to say it, we're speaking to Sarah Duncan, there in Brisbane, Australia. Welcome on the show, Sarah.
Thank you so much, Richard. It's great to be here with you.
No, it's a real pleasure to have you. And it's a real pleasure to have you here on the show. And I just want to check. I mean, you're there in Brisbane. It's lovely. I imagine it's a lovely day. What is the view out of your window at the moment?
It's actually pretty cold here at the moment. I've got the heater on at my feet, which is probably ridiculous. It's 22 degrees outside, I'd say, but I'm pretty cold. But outside, it's a beautiful, crisp sort of afternoon. No clouds in the sky, palm trees at my window. So it's not bad.
It beats my view of the Carrera Septima and the traffic rolling.
It does. Yeah, it definitely does.
Well, it's nice to know everything. Now, I've been reading reading your blog a lot, and everybody knows, and people are highly, they're always congratulating you because you've got nothing but nice words to say about Columbia, and this is what we need in this day and age and whatever. But I'm going to test you on your Australianness. We're going to ease into this chat because I don't do interviews. We do chats here on Columbia Calling. Anyway, I want to ease you in because I was reading a piece on the BBC about Australian slang, and I don't know how many of the listeners out there maybe know Australian slang. So I want to say there's something here that I've seen. I'm reading it now. It's full as a centipede sock drawer.
Well, as a centipede sock drawer.
Yeah.
Oh, God. I've never heard that one, actually. That's a shame. I've never heard that one. What does that one mean?
Apparently means very full, because, of course, a centipede is many feet. So what about he played a Barry?
He played a Barry?
Yeah.
Gosh, I have no idea. I'm failing miserably.
You are. You're 0 for 2. So that's someone who did shockingly badly, because Barry is short for Barry Crocker and rhymes with shock.
Oh, shocker Barry Crocker. Yeah.
That's there right. We go. No, hang on. I'm going to scrolling down. I'm gonna try, maybe like a mad woman's breakfast.
Okay. No, I've never heard that.
I'm going to have to send you the link of this one. This is like a mad woman's breakfast. It's all over the place or messy. Well, go. I'm going to do two more. All right, hang on a second. Mad as a meat axe.
Oh my god, is that similar as similar to the woman's breakfast?
Yeah, similar. It's just means crazy. So you're now over 4. Okay, hang on a second. Oh, here's an easy one. What about neck oil?
Neck oil. How is that an easy one? I have no idea.
Come on.
Neck oil.
Yeah, it's beer.
Oh dear.
Yeah, I thought it was going to be easy.
No, I failed miserably.
Luckily,
I don't have a blog about Australia. Otherwise, that would just be even worse, I think.
Well, yeah, okay. Well, we'll give you this. We'll give you this. You know, I've got the answers in front of me. I wouldn't have been able to guess any of them. I'm not Australian, but you have been out of the country for a long time. You're now back in Australia.
That's a great excuse, Richard. Thank you. Yeah,
I'll give you that one. Now, listen, we're just winding back. So how, you know, when is it that you came first to Colombia? Tell us a bit about this.
Well, the first time I went to Colombia was in 2006, and I was 21. I was basically doing a gap year of travel, and I ended up in England, and I worked in England for a while, and I also managed to make my way over to Colombia. I spent a few months in Medellin.
Uh-huh.
And then I came back to Australia. I returned again in 2009. To Colombia, and then it wasn't until 2012 that I decided that, yes, I want to live in this country.
Wow. And so in 2012, you made the decision, you came over to Colombia.
Yes, I did. I'd never been to Bogota before. I'd travelled around Medellin and some other places around Colombia, but I'd never been to Bogota. And I decided before ever visiting the city that I wanted to live there. I just knew for some strange reason that I had to be there. And it was funny because I got off the plane, it was like 10 o'clock at night. The airport was under construction. It was just chaotic. You know, people were selling bubblegum on the street, and taxi drivers is, you know, almost hitting each other. And I just got off the plane and walked down. I just let out a sigh of relief, and I just thought, oh, thank God, this is exactly what I thought it was going to be, and I feel at home. I just instantly had that connection.
That's nice. There's a lot of people who'd be overwhelmed by this. But, of course, you'd had experience traveling. You're not a novice traveler.
That's right.
You've been in Costa Rica as well, I believe. So, I mean, you know.
I have, yeah. I went there a couple of years ago for, I think, 3 weeks or something. I was in Costa Rica for, yeah.
All right. So, there we go. So you got, there's some similarities. Not massive similarities, but equally.
Yeah.
All right. No, so you got off the plane. And did you have work organized for when you arrived, or did you just come here as a, you know, like on a wing and a prayer, and then decide, well, I'll make a life of it?
Well, it's funny because there was like a tapestry of coincidences that kind of led to me being there, because I'd basically gone through a bit of a midlife crisis, I guess. I'd broken my foot skateboarding, I'd got a facial piercing and dyed my hair blonde, you know, bleached it. And I just realized that I wasn't really happy with where my life was at that moment. I was in a job that I didn't envision for myself, and in a long-term relationship that I wasn't terribly happy in. And it was then that I decided that I really needed to change. And once I made that decision, all these strange coincidences started occurring. including meeting someone in Brisbane who owned a summer camp in Bogota. And that's how I got my – well, that's pretty much how I ended up spending my first month in Bogota. I was working at this summer camp called Yambalo in Bogota.
Now, you've written about this summer camp. And tell us a little bit about it. I mean, I was really unaware that these summer camps existed.
Yeah, it was fantastic, really. They do either two-week or month-long summer camps, and basically it's an English immersion for Colombian kids. And they basically don't even realise that they're learning a second or, you know, sometimes third language, but they don't realise that they're learning. They're learning how to rock climb. They're learning how to, you know, go canyoning or abseiling. They learn how to, you know, they learn about teamwork, but at the same time, they're learning the language. And by the end of the week, by the end of week two, they're so confident using the language that you wonder how quickly that these kids can actually learn the language. They're just like sponges, you know, and they become so confident by the end of it. It was really amazing.
And of course, there's a necessity of learning, let's say, English. If you're teaching them rock climbing in English, they're going to have to learn pretty fast.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, we did have – there were Colombian teachers on hand as well. So if they were really in a pickle, then, you know, they'd be there on hand to help them.
Okay, Sarah, I'm going to ask you a personal question. How old are you? I mean, how old were you in 2012 when you had a midlife crisis?
I was 25. I was 20. I'm 29 now. Uh-huh. So I must have been, 26?
I think your time is longer than 52. I think you're going to last longer than that. I don't think it's a midlife crisis.
Sorry, quarter life crisis.
Yeah,
sorry.
I think you just went through a little hump.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
And of course, then you bested it and you decided to come to Colombia, and then you found yourself in this a summer camp for kids, and I guess you made friends or lasting friends and then connections that sort of helped you then into the next phase of your Colombia period.
Oh, absolutely. And when I got here, I really didn't know what I wanted to do. I couldn't see past that 1 month of working at the summer camp, basically. All I knew was that I wanted to practice my Spanish and do some writing, and luckily those opportunities came up for me, which was great. And that's also how I got involved with See Colombia Travel, which is another blog in Colombia as well, and it's all just kind of gone from there, really.
It all fell into place. We're going to take a short break. And I mean, we're talking to Sarah Duncan, who's a writer from Brisbane, Australia, but spent a considerable amount of time here in Colombia. And it was really one of the greatest sort of online promoters of Colombia. I mean, put aside the government agencies that are out there spamming us with information about Colombia. It's all about the content that counts. And so that's where Sarah comes in. So we're talking to her in Brisbane, Australia. This is Colombia Calling. I'm Richard McCall, and we'll be right back after a little minute.
Pack your bags and explore the world with us. You're listening to the Overseas Radio Network.
Tired of paying for traditional advertising? Sick of pouring money into SEO and questionable marketing firms? Looking to reach a new audience? We know you want to grow your business and directly engage your customers and clientele. Podcasting is the way to go, and Podfly has your solution. Whether you're a blogger, writer, business owner, entrepreneur, or service provider, Podfly makes it easy for anyone to have a professionally produced and distributed podcast. No radio experience or technical ability? No problem. In 3 easy steps, you'll be on your way to having a professional-sounding podcast and an exciting new platform to promote your business. Podfly's top-class support team guides you through the process to make podcasting easy, fun, and most important, have you sound your best. Get started today at podfly.net, and let's get your message truly heard. Podfly.net, passion for great-sounding podcasts.
Are you looking to invest, live, or retire overseas? Before you pack your bags, you need to log on to NagelLaw.com. It's the only stop you need to make for global business, asset protection, estate planning, overseas residency, and citizenship needs. Our experts have experience working in 41 countries around the world. Starting a business abroad can be overwhelming without expert help. We assist clients with foreign trust, foundations, corporations, LLCs, IBCs, and property acquisition. Need help with IRA assets abroad, capital formation, foreign securities issues, banking, brokerage, or finance needs? NagelLaw.com. We ensure compliance with U.S. tax and regulatory laws. We engineer global structures to help our clients achieve their personal business objectives. Get started today. To find out about our introductory personal asset protection plan, visit us online, NagelLaw.com. We represent capital overseas.
Okay, you're not stupid. You see the handwriting on the wall. You're thinking about joining the millions of Americans who have already left the country. But where do you go? You don't want to make the mistake of jumping from the frying pan into the fire. You need accurate info to make one of the most important decisions of your life. You need EscapeTheUSAnow.com. You don't want to have regrets because your expat country collapsed due to crime, conflict, disease, famine, natural disaster, scarcity, war, or a government gone bad. Only at EscapeTheUSAnow.com will you discover the handful of countries that offer true freedoms and unbelievable opportunities that most people could only dream of. EscapeTheUSAnow.com is the information you cannot afford not to have. Information that took over 30 years to research, costing hundreds of thousands of dollars, with more than a quarter of a million miles traveled. For less than $2.50 per month, you can have what may be the most life-saving information you have ever obtained. EscapeTheUSAnow.com, so you don't jump from the frying pan into the fire.
You're tuned in to OverseasRadio.com, the station to help you reach your dream destination.
And we're back. This is Columbia Calling. I'm Richard McCall here in Bogota, and this week we're speaking to Sarah Duncan, a writer in Brisbane, Australia. The first time we're talking to someone in Australia, so I was very excited. In fact, it might be the first time in my life I've talked to someone in Australia. But anyway, Sarah is a writer from Brisbane, and she's been in Columbia. She was in Columbia for, you know, a couple of years, a good period of time, and is a Well, I mean, she's profoundly affected by Columbia. I don't think there's any other way of putting it. Now, we've heard about your tales there in at the summer camp for children, Sarah. Then you got involved in See Columbia Travel, who are you know, we're mutual friends, Jose Luis and Marcela, are good guys, and they've got this agency. So tell us a little bit about how you got the work there with them.
Yeah, absolutely. So before I decided to move to Columbia, I followed See Columbia Travel on Facebook, and because I knew, you know, I knew I loved Columbia. I knew that, you know, I'd resonated with them on some level, you know, the culture, the people, the food. I knew I wanted to live there. So I began following See Columbia Travel and, you know, started liking their posts, reading their posts, and thought, hey, if I go here, I want to get a job with these guys. I want to actually write with them. So once I got there, I emailed them, and I saw on their Facebook that they had they were calling out for an intern, and I got in touch and had an interview with Paul Fowler, and it just all went from there, really. I was actually concussed the day of the interview, so it was quite an interesting interview. I didn't get any sleep before it, but I don't know. It worked out in the end.
I think you're going to have to elaborate on the reason for your concussion.
I wish I didn't have to be honest, because it was so stupid. I was learning how – I was in La Mesa, and I was learning how to ride a motorbike, and it was – I can't remember what kind of motorbike it was, but it was a big one. And it ended badly, unfortunately, and I got concussion. So,
but the interview went well. I mean, surely something got knocked into place.
I know. I had so much coffee, to be honest with you. I was waiting at the cafe, so nervous, so, you know, so hyped up with all this caffeine in my system, and, you know, little sleep. But I don't know. Paul and I ended up having a good chat and a good laugh. So. Yeah, it worked out well.
Knowing Paul Fowler, who's, you know, noted travel writer and blogger and etc. Knowing Paul Fowler, I think that perhaps you under concussion was more attractive, as you know, than just a regular person coming to an interview.
Yeah, well, it was funny too, because what happened was I ended up confessing to him that I had been concussed the day before and that I was a little bit worse for wear. And by the end of our conversation, we're both saying like, oh, pretty sure we're going to blog about this actually, aren't we? And I'm like, yeah, I'm already thinking of ideas of how I'm going to blog about this whole situation. And I did write about it, how to do a job interview with concussion. So know.
I like it. I like it. It's the first time I've heard of that. And I think sometimes I might have done better in job interviews if I were concussed.
I think I nailed it, to be honest, thanks to the concussion.
Now, and so how long did you spend working for Sea Columbia Travel?
Oh, probably, I think 6 to 8 months, actually. Yeah, quite a while. That was great fun.
And so you got the opportunity to travel in Colombia for them and to get to visit some pretty awesome places. And I know that you've written about the Ruta Mutis. Tell us a little bit about this, because it's something that I know that Colombia wants to promote, but not a lot of people follow it.
Yeah, it was – well, I didn't know too much about the La Ruta Mutis before I did it. It basically follows where he was a priest, you know, Spanish priest and botanist from Spain had come to Colombia and basically wanted to document the flora and fauna in the region. So it kind of, you kind of wind through the Colombian landscape in a lot of different areas of Colombia. And the Ruta Mutis is huge, but we only covered a certain part of it. Where did we go? We went to Mariquita and Honda and all these great little towns that I probably wouldn't have had the opportunity to visit at all, and I wouldn't have heard of without going along, you know, the Mutis route.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
It was fantastic. It was a really beautiful and you go along the Magdalena River and you learn about the history of Colombia, basically.
Yeah, because I mean, even though it's for flora and fauna, it's following the historic points of interest in the country.
Absolutely. Oh, absolutely. And I think one of the most poignant areas that we visited was in Armero, which was, you know, where the landslide, volcanic landslide occurred all those years ago. And this whole tour was in Spanish, and at that time, I don't know if my Spanish was really that good. I don't know if my Spanish is really that good now, but certainly then my Spanish wasn't, you know, fluent. And when the tour guide was talking to us about the horrible things that have gone on in that town and the people who are still trapped under the ground there, who are during that landslide and volcanic activity, it just broke my heart. I couldn't actually believe what I was hearing, especially in a second language.
Yeah, and it was the worldwide image. I mean, I remember as a kid, I think I'm older than you. I remember as a kid back in England of the little girl called Omaira, who was trapped, who became the face of the tragedy of Casa Omaira, which, I mean, just absolutely heartbreaking.
And her image, because her image and her tomb is quite the I don't want to say attraction, but it's where a lot of people visit when you're in Armero. And that image of her is just that haunted me for months. You know, that image of her and the story behind that whole incident, it just haunted me for months. I still think of it often, to be honest with you. It's just horrible.
Well, yeah, truly dreadful, and all of the circumstances around it and so on. But we'll move on from Armero and the Ruta Mutis, but it's highly recommended to any of you out there.
Absolutely. And some of the landscapes that I saw, like especially along the Magdalena River, just absolutely amazing. I would recommend it to anyone for sure, absolutely, just to see, you know, that little extra bit of history that you might not necessarily know about Colombia.
Yeah, definitely. Just get under the surface a little bit more, not just the basic areas.
That's right. That's exactly right.
Fantastic. Now, Sarah, I want to, you know, first of all, and we're going to plug your blog a little bit. It's sarepa.com, which is obviously a play on Sarah and arepa, the traditional Colombian food. You love arepas.
I know, it's actually quite embarrassing because I'm just addicted to arepas, basically, and a friend of mine began calling me Sarepa, so I thought that would be a good name for a blog. But the embarrassing thing is, so I remember I saw you in a park, in Lourdes Park, in Bogota. I was doing an interview for, you know, this Colombian television program, and I watched the little bit. And I'm talking about how much I love arepas, and I seriously had put on probably about 10 kilos since moving to be honest with you. And it was just shocking. It was absolutely shocking. I love arepas, but in moderation, people.
Well, and I mean, if we look at your blog, so that's sarepa.com, sarepa.com. You know, you've got a food section, and you've got a whole list of what to do with arepas as well. I mean, yours goes a little bit more out there than just you know, sort of, let's say, a fondness for arepas. This is something verging on psychotic.
It is. It's an obsession.
Okay.
It's an obsession.
Right, can you just describe, you know, out there to maybe some people who haven't ever been to Colombia, what an arepa actually is?
So basically, it's like a cornflour disc, and they come in all different kinds of varieties. They come in sweet varieties or the more savory varieties. But basically, I would say it's something like bread that I would usually have for breakfast. For example, is, you know, a piece of toast with some butter on it. In Colombia, you'd have an arepa with butter on it, or cheese, or leftover last night's dinner on top of it, or basically you can put anything on an arepa and it would be okay by me. But it's a staple.
Yeah, it's something to fill you up, really.
Absolutely. You have it on the side of your meal. You have it as a meal in itself. You have it for a snack, you know.
So there you go. In a few short sentences, you can understand why the 10 kilos then got piled on there.
I know. Thank God I can't access the arepas here. So
Well, I'm sure you can find some some Colombians there in Brisbane who have some.
There definitely are. There absolutely are. At a couple of markets not far from, you know, in Brisbane, they have an arepa stall. So I'll have to make a visit.
Too funny. No, you know what? I can have an arepa every now and then, but nothing like you. We'll go back. We're going to move on to your blog again. So we're saying sarepa.com, and you've written a couple of really, really sort of hard hitting, I would say, posts in the last, from April 29th, you've got the piece, six completely illogical reasons not to travel to Colombia. And now, I mean, did you write that in reaction to something that you read about Colombia that offended you as the fact that you know Colombia very well?
So basically the reason why I write things like this is because when I first went to Colombia, I was like really naive, and I came back from Colombia and I was writing for a small magazine, and I wanted to write about Colombia as if, wow, look how adventurous I am for going to this really dangerous place. Mm-hmm. And when I saw that article with my byline on it, I felt sick and I didn't want to share it with anyone. So basically I felt like it's my mission in life to tell people that Colombia is a great place to visit as well. It's, you know, it's a great place to travel and live. And so that's why I write things like that.
Okay. Okay. I can go with that. Definitely. And I know where you're coming from on that, because I mean, you know, but it goes both ways. As journalists, you end up writing about the bad things, but also you end up writing about the good things. And I always end up saying and quoting a war photographer from El Salvador, in fact. He's American, but he died in the war in El Salvador. And he says, you know, you do something bad, I'm going to take a photo of you. You do something good, I'm going to take a photo of you. Make sure you do something good, you know. And I think it kind of balances itself out. It's an evil being a journalist, because at the end of the day, we also have to sell articles. It's like,
yeah, that's right. That's right. But, you know, a lot of other news programs can write about Colombia in a different way. That's just what I choose to write about, because that's the Colombia that I've experienced, you know. So I just want to share that with people who are probably not as educated about Colombia and what the country's really like.
But I think you've got a big following here in Colombia. I think Colombians are incredibly appreciative of what you've done. I mean, I always see the posts on your Facebook page or on your blog saying, you know, people are thanking you for your work on this. I mean, it's high praise.
Well, you know, Colombia's given me a lot of happiness, to be honest with you. So I just want to, you know, repay the favor, to be fair.
All right, that's very good. We're going to take a short break. We're talking to Sarah Duncan, a writer from Brisbane, Australia. I'm here in Bogota, Colombia. This is Colombia Calling. I'm Richard McCall, and we'll be right back.
Your expatriation destination. This is OverseasRadio.com.
Worried about rising taxes, costly insurance, out-of-control healthcare, economic decline, staggering debt, mortgages, and retirement? It doesn't have to be this way. Escape to Ecuador, one of the most beautiful countries on the planet, and at EcuadorAtYourService.com, be your guide. Ecuador has been named the number one retirement destination in the world 3 times in a row. So if you're searching for beaches, jungles, farmland, cities, affordable healthcare, and a richer lifestyle at half the cost, contact EcuadorAtYourService.com.
Sit back and relax. You are tuned into the Overseas Radio Network.
And we're back. This is Columbia Calling. I'm Richard McCall here in Bogota. We're talking to Sarah Duncan, writer from Brisbane, Australia. She's in Brisbane at the moment, but she's also a great, she's almost a publicity agent for Columbia, but she writes it how it is. And we've been talking a little bit about her articles, and we've been talking about, you know, her time here in Columbia. She worked for Sea Columbia Travel. She was also at a summer camp for kids here near Bogota or in Bogota. But I want to focus on a little bit that's been coming up recently, you know, and it's front page news here in Columbia about two Australian radio journalists who basically ended up associating Columbia with cocaine. It's front page news here. There's a whole lot of it, sort of indignation. How are people reacting there in Australia, Sarah?
Well, I think especially among the Colombian community here, but also within the Australian community as well, people are very disappointed, upset, angry, and quite shocked as well, I think. I think, you know, Colombians are on the receiving end of some pretty harsh commentary about the country anyway, but to have it on a national radio show during such a positive time, with the country, especially during the World Cup, I think it's just been a bit of a blow below the belt.
Yeah, now I know. I don't know a lot about this program out there in Australia. It is a national show. I mean, it is nationwide. It is people listen to it. It's got high ratings.
It's a national radio station, but I believe it was the radio program in Sydney that it occurred on.
Okay, but this follows very quickly on the sort of scandal. Was it a Dutch actress who was also a UN ambassador or something? And I mean, right. You know, ridiculous things. If you're a public figure, you're not going to do that on your Twitter account. You need to have someone better managing you than that. I mean, have the images of, I guess it was James Rodriguez and someone else snorting cocaine as if they were the lions of the football pitch. I mean, pretty offensive stuff if you think about the World Cup trying to bring us all together.
And you're offending a whole nation of people. You're not just offending, you know, a group. You're offending a lot of people with doing things like that. And I just think it was just not on.
And prior to these events, you had written a blog post which has been incredibly well received and retweeted. I mean, I tweeted it a couple of times out there, and it's been retweeted and retweeted and retweeted. But it's called Six Completely. Oh, no, that's the wrong one. Let me get the other one. What Colombians are sick about during this World Cup? No, remind me exactly of the title.
Yeah, what's Colombia sick of hearing about during the World Cup? I think that was right.
Yeah, that sounds right. That sounds right to me. Now, I mean, you got, obviously, based on the same issues that we've just been discussing, I mean, this is what really, sort of inspired you to write this. But, I mean, you pretty much detail it all. And tell us a bit about your thought process when you came to sit down to pen this piece.
Well, basically, I follow a couple of groups here in Brisbane, Colombian groups. So, you know, Colombians living in Brisbane, Colombians living in Australia. And I realized that these people were getting really upset about something. And I was listening to the conversation, and it was mostly about this radio program that occurred. But it was also another comedian, a British comedian, Russell Brand. He had said some things on Twitter as well about cocaine. And then there was also a viral letter, open letter from Colombia to the world about how, you know, drugs is not a joke to them. And I just saw all these themes running together, and, you know, I just got sick of it, basically. I'd seen Colombia do really well in the World Cup, and, you know, they'd won, you know, some really great matches. They'd done really well. And I just thought, why aren't we focusing on that instead? So that was the thought process behind it, basically.
And it was picked up and run by on the Matador network. I mean, that's a big outlet there. I mean, they've got a lot of an audience, you know.
Yeah, it's been shared a lot, and you know, I'm kind of not surprised because I'm pissed off. I'm sure a lot of other people are pissed off too.
Very good. I like it. But yeah, and rightly so. You know, I think Colombians have been on the receiving end of a lot of brutal sort of comments, and I honestly really can't listen to very much that Russell Brand has to say. So I don't really care.
No, exactly. But you know, it just happens over and over and over and over and over again. You know, when do you draw the line and say this is enough?
Yeah, it's true. I mean, these things. I mean, when you get this sort of a. I mean, I guess we're still suffering from what happened in the 80s here. You know, these things, these reputations take a long time to leave. I mean, I'm still considered as a hooligan here. Not that I ever was a hooligan ever in the UK or in England, but it's what's associated with my country. You know, I don't know. Well, I don't know what an Australian would be associated with here. I really don't know.
I'm not sure.
I think you guys, you just get an easy ride, I think. So.
Yeah, maybe.
Now we got you on the show, not only for all of these things, you know, your writing and but also you've got an ebook coming out soon. Tell us all about this ebook.
Yeah, well, basically, a lot of people began asking me, how do I quit my job and do what you did? How do I quit my job and move overseas? How do I do that? And I began writing about that a little bit on the blog, and it was quite well received. And I thought, you know, I could probably share a lot more about this and just provide some sort of guidance on how to make those big decisions leading up to a move abroad. And so that's how it kind of came about. And there are a lot of things that you have to take into account before, you know, making a big decision like that. Relationships, your job, your income, you know, where in the world you're going to go, you know, cultural customs that you've got to think about. And it can be quite overwhelming. And I know when I first, you know, before I moved overseas, I was quite an anxious traveler and found it really difficult at first to, you know, make friends, to get out of my comfort zone and to just make that big leap and trust my gut instinct that was telling me to go. I found all that very difficult. So I thought if I could create something that can help people in that similar situation who want to do something, who are stuck in a rut, who hate their job or, you know, don't want to be in the relationship that they're in and need some sort of outlet, then I'd like to have some sort of part in helping with that.
Right, helping with broken hearts. Broke hearts. So this ebook is called How to Quit Your Job and Travel the World, and in the subheading, Tips and Advice, How to Make Your Travel Dreams a Reality. Now, I mean, so you'll be doing all of this in this, but how many pages is this? I mean, how long?
I don't want to tell you how many pages it is yet.
is it just very slide? Every page is a blank page and you're just going to say, make your own plan.
It's just a big, you know, a chart that you fill in yourself, basically. Yeah,
like a flow chart of how much money you spend, like a budget
restriction. Exactly. No, that's been the main challenge as well with writing the book because there's just so much to include and there are so many reasons that people choose to live abroad as well. So that's been a real challenge, you know, trying and writing it in a concise way that will appeal to a lot of people. That's definitely been, yeah, a challenge.
But it's not going to be, you know, how to become an economic refugee.
No.
You know, say, you know, buy economy bread because that will save you 20 pesos, buy this, buy that. It's not going to be about that. No, it's not about scrounging.
No, it's nothing like that. No, not scrounging. No, definitely okay. Not.
Well, I'm relieved to hear that. Now, listen, tell us all, explain to us a little bit. When did you start writing this ebook? Because I remember the post coming up saying, should I write this now? And how long is it taking you to do this?
It's taken months. And it's actually good that we've organized this interview sooner than later because it's actually given me a big kick up the bum to actually finish it. So it's perfect. It's great. It'll be out this week. But it's been going on for months, basically, because you're just collating all the information and making sure that, you know, I'm just a bit of a perfectionist as well. So I like to make sure that what I'm doing is, you know.
Well, of course, if your name's on it, you don't want it to look like, you know.
Right. I don't want to look like an idiot, do I?
Exactly. Now, and this is a free ebook.
It is. Yeah, it's a free ebook that you can get from the website. So
you just look up your website, serepa.com, and then the links to the free ebook, and there you'll find how to quit your job and travel the world. And Sarah Duncan will be solely responsible for, a mass loss of work and employment hours as people at their desks dream of giving up everything and then do so.
That's it. You only live one life. You might as well live it exactly how you want to.
That makes perfect sense to me. Now, listen, I can see you've got certain breakdowns in it. You've got checklists. You've got travel apps, cash flow tips. That's what worries me. There we go. I think that's going to be – is that the one which says, buy economy bread? And then you've got house hunting advice. Now, given the fact that you lived in Colombia, do you have any house hunting advice for people who are coming over to Bogota for a long period of time? Because it's not the most straightforward place.
No, I think I'd lived in three different sorts of living arrangements. I'd lived in a big share house in La Candelaria. I lived in hostels, and I also lived in an apartment. So I think for me the best way that I had found a place to live was word of mouth a lot of the time. So I either through a hostel or through friends or through friends of friends of friends or through online communities on Facebook, I'd always found a place because of someone else. I think the best move that you can make is just talking to other people who have been in the city or the country that you're moving to, for example, Bogota, is to just talk to people who've been living there, and perhaps they, have a friend who's looking for a housemate or something like that. But also just walking on foot as well and looking for places that are for rent as well. They've got the red sign in the window and just calling up rather than searching online. I found that helped as well.
Definitely. I think, and additionally to this sort of house hunting advice, do you have any other snippet, any other, sort of little jewel that you can give us from the ebook just to give us another little, let's say, flavor of what's to come so that we can drive more people to the site to download this ebook?
Yeah, absolutely. I think for me, there's quite a bit of information of how to figure out whether this is like where you want to go, what country you want to choose, and how to listen to your gut instinct as well and what that actually means and what that feels like. And for me, it was actually through a meditation, a guided meditation practice that I really figured out that living abroad was for me. I'd done this guided meditation through a work conference, and basically, the person who was leading the meditation said, Matt, visualize where you see yourself in 5 years from now. And all I could see was me by myself in a rickety old train traveling somewhere. I didn't know where. I didn't know, what country I was in, but that sparked the idea that, okay, I've got to do this. So I think it's, information just about how to connect with that intuition and to trust it and to just trust what you're feeling and go with it.
Oh, there we go. You're absolutely telling it how it is to the people out there, to those out there considering this. Now, Sarah, what's next for you? You're back in Brisbane. This might be just too sedentary for you. What's coming up in Serepa's agenda?
I don't know. I think definitely just focusing on Colombia. There's so much that I want to explore with Colombia and so much that I can want to write. Even though I feel, even though I'm quite far away from Colombia, I feel that I'm actually not that far, especially with the World Cup that's on now. I feel, we're all watching the games at the same time. We're all crying at the same time. We're all cheering at the same time. I just feel like I'm a little bit closer, but there's just so much that I feel I have to share about Colombia still. So definitely, a lot more to come from Serepa, that's for sure.
Ah, fantastic. So it shows you can take the girl out of Colombia, but you can't take Colombia out of the girl. I didn't want to say it, but it just came up. Well, listen, Sarah, thank you very much for your time. It's been really enlightening and sharing this, and we hope to drive some more some downloads to your website for your new ebook, and that it will be a great success, I'm sure. So thank you for being on the show with us, Sarah.
Thank you. Thank you so much. It's been an absolute pleasure. I love the show. So thank you very much.
You're very welcome. So this is Columbia Calling. I'm Richard McCall. We've been talking to Sarah Duncan, a writer from Brisbane, Australia. You can check out her writing about Columbia and other things at sarepa.com. Don't miss out and get in touch. We always love hearing from you here at Columbia Calling. Thank you for listening.
Live call-in shows and hosts from your favorite countries. This is the Overseas Radio Network.